The 2-2 pitch. Posey bounces it softly. Left side cutting over to his left. Solarte's got it. Throws to first. And the game is over. So the Giants open up the second half and lose for the first time all year to the Padres. Final score 4-1 on a night that was full of frustration. And in the end, too much for Belt and for Bochy. Both of them in the ninth inning got tossed out of this game.
Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lori on The Sports Leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us. We've got action coming up here. Jeff Samardzija and Luis Perdomo on the mound today. This is going to be an interesting start time. See what these two pitchers do with it. A lot of strikeouts, I think. Let's go down to San Diego, beautiful city, and bring in Andy Baggerly, Extra Bags on Twitter with two G's. And he covers the Giants for the Bay Area Newspaper Group. Andy, how are you?
Hey, Marty, I'm good. How are you?
Good, very good. Now, how's the weather? It must be gorgeous down there.
It is. It's beautiful. I just went for a little run along the waterfront, and I think Comic-Con is getting close to coming here because they were erecting a giant spaceship in one of the parks. So I think that's next weekend. We'll see all the costumed cosplayers out there wandering around in superhero regalia. So that's always a fun time to be here.
Yeah, always interesting. You never know if it's reality or maybe you're dreaming, but we go through those things all the time. All right. Last night, how about reality? A reality check for the Giants coming back last night. Bumgarner, I think you described he didn't have the syrupy curveball. I like that.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same drop-in curve that he had against the Diamondbacks. Of course, he also got ahead of them a lot more consistently. And, you know, I didn't think he had bad stuff at all. He struck out 9, and he only paid really for the 2 home run balls. Even the one run he gave up when the Padres took the lead, it was a hard-hit ball from Will Myers that went off of Connor Gillespie that I think Matt Duffy probably handles and could have been an error, even though it was a hard-hit ball. And that's why they got to get Matt Duffy back, because they just, you know, this team has to catch the ball and not only make the routine plays, but sometimes the beyond routine plays that save your pitcher's pitches. And Connor Gillespie's not a very good defensive third baseman. And he's tried very hard, worked hard at it, but that's not really in his skill set. So, you know, that was a play that contributed to one run. And other than that, I think you saw Bum sort of bark at a couple people and lose his cool a couple times, which is what he does. You know, if anything, it might have been good to have him on the mound, even in a loss, because it kind of reminds everybody, you know what, we can't be complacent. We can't get comfortable. I mean, here the Dodgers are just 5.5 out, and they're getting some pieces back as well. So it should be a good finish and a good division race, and it's far from over.
Yeah, this is when it becomes interesting. Every game becomes interesting, and especially as you watch a race develop. You say, well, now there's 60 left and you're 5 back or 3 back. You realize it's an eternity in baseball, and that's why the 162 is the big marathon. What about Bumgarner barking at everybody? And does it ever get old in watching that, or are you waiting to see it? I mean, there's a close play at first, and he's in the middle of that. Will Myers, it's a home run. He's looking at that. Everything that goes on, he's looking at something.
Well, how about like when it's 0-2 and Andrew Cashner throws him a waste pitch way outside and Bumgarner swings at it, and then he glares back at the mound for a good 3 seconds as if to say, what, you're not man enough to throw me fastball down the middle because I'm a pitcher? It's like, hey, man, they respect you. They know you can hit. I mean, hell, you were almost in the home run derby in that ballpark. So, you know, he can't have it both ways. And there are times like that you want to stop the game and talk some sense in them. Say, come on, Madison, you know that you wouldn't do that to a pitcher who you fear or with the bat that could hurt you. So, yeah, I think there are times that he loses perspective out there. But it's also, as Bruce Bochy said, it's what makes him good, having that fire, that competitive edge. I've said this, the only time that you really have to worry about it is if something escalates to the point where a bench is clear or a punch gets thrown by somebody on the other team, because I don't think Madison's going to start throwing punches unless he's really provoked. But if somebody else, you know, overreacts to his overreaction and then a punch is thrown, all of a sudden you get a teammate get hurt in one of these scuffles, then it's going to be on him. It really is. That's the one thing you kind of have to watch for and you worry about maybe in the future if one of these things escalates. But other than that, the ticky-tack stuff, I think you just sort of chalk it up to Madison being Madison.
Yeah, very good point. That's a good point if things did escalate. I'll tell you one thing, and we'll move on from this subject. The Padres are watching him. Believe me, they know what he's doing, and they're in the top step of the dugout watching him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. Andy, there was a play in the game last night, and I'm sure you saw it, and it was all over TV, and everyone in the world had fun with it. When Solarte went into the stands and came out with a catch, but when he opened his glove, the ball was full of nacho cheese. Did anyone ever figure out how that happened?
You know, Alex Pavlovich actually went down to do his TV hit after the game, and he walked down there and took a picture of the tray of nachos still sitting on the in the first row there. So I guess you got to think he picked the ball off the ground, right? There's only right. one way that thing could get, because it wasn't just sort of dabbed in cheese. That thing was slathered as if you put a whole ladle of that good old bright yellow nacho cheese, which I think is closer related to melted plastic than food, even though it's somehow delicious also. I mean, it was like you ladled the whole thing on there. The umpire was laughing. Everybody was laughing. So, but, you know, he got an out, and we got a pretty good laugh out of it. And, yeah, that was – I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, that thing was covered.
Yeah, no, it was, and it was in his glove, and the ball clearly was in the middle of nachos. There's no doubt, and how else, it can't happen any other way, you know. He's not going to be picking nachos up with his glove, so yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. That was, you know, look, last weekend we saw Peavy catch a ball he wasn't looking at, and this with last night. Every night you see something, isn't it funny?
Well, you know, we do talk about pitchers throwing cheddar, so I guess it's.
High cheese. And Bumgarner had the high cheese last night. I thought he had some pretty good high fastballs. Hey, the rehabs are starting, and boy, they're escalating too. Maybe you can bring us up to date on Pence and Panic and Kane and Alex's favorite guy, Adrianza.
Well, sure, we can start with Pence. He's going to go to Round Rock, Texas, near Austin, and play five innings tonight and five innings tomorrow night for Sacramento. And then he's going to take Monday off, and then he's going to continue playing for Sacramento at New Orleans. And by the way, I know that he didn't cherry pick it this way, but what a time to join AAA Sacramento, going to Austin and New Orleans. That's about the two best AAA cities you could conjure, having been to both places and enjoying eating my way through both cities. But, you know, they think he's going to get about 30 at-bats over about a week, but we've seen him cut this thing short before. I remember last year when he was coming back off the fractured forearm, he hit a homer for Sacramento, and he texted Bruce Bochy something to the effect of, "I am a ridiculous weapon. You need to call me up." And so they called him up to Cincinnati. They cut it short, and he hit a homer in his first game. And then, of course, later on, he had that bone callus that formed and had to go back on the DL for a bit. So I think the Giants are going to be cautious, make sure that they get him settled in. They're not in a team that really is on a six-game losing streak. They're not, you know, watching the season slip away. They've got a nice lead right now. Even though they can't be complacent, they also don't have to necessarily panic and rush people back. So I think they can afford to see how his at-bats go, and ideally they'd give him a full week, and maybe he's ready by the end of this road trip or even meets the team in New York for the Yankees series. Joe Panic, they do think they're going to have him for the beginning of the Yankees series. He's going to start a rehab assignment probably Sunday or Monday. I haven't really said yet where that's going to be, but they think that he only needs about three or four games. He said he's real confident he's passed his concussion symptoms, are not going to come back. Matt Duffy's still a little more of a slow play situation, as they say, with his Achilles moving really well, taking grounders, moving laterally, but still that heel to toe straight line running. It still bothers him a little bit, so they're taking it easy with him. Matt Cain, even though he got blasted at Lancaster, if you've ever seen a game there, Marty, and I have, it's like playing at Coors Field with a Wrigley Field summer breeze blowing straight out and throwing a lot of dust. Okay. I mean, it's Adrianza hit two home runs, so there you go. But Kane, I don't think they care that he gave up nine runs. He got to 93 or 94 pitches in four innings, and so he's going to return to the rotation in the Red Sox series on, I guess that would be Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah. Yeah, maybe Drew Pomeranz.
And Drew Pomeranz, I guess he's going to pace Drew Pomeranz.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. All right, well, very good, and it's interesting. And Adrianza, as you said, had a couple of home runs last night. Andy, this first half was amazing, and, you know, I always say in baseball, it can't last. You don't go 40 and 15 or 40 and 16. There's that correction that comes. And I just see it. pitching wise. I just see all these innings these guys are pitching. It can't go on like this. And you see a game like this for Bumgarner. I say over the summer they've got to figure out a way to cut back on the innings on the big guys. I think that's the key.
Well, I think that they got the extra start out of Bumgarner, and it certainly paid dividends for them on Sunday. Maybe not so much to yesterday, but I think you're going to see that. They're going to try to dial back innings when they can. And the best way that they can do that, Marty, is to have a nice big cushion going into September so they don't feel the Dodgers really breathing down their neck, and they can afford to ease up on some guys a little bit, let other relievers pitch when rosters expand, and that's the best way to do it. But that's going to be a challenge because, as you said, the schedule does get quite a bit tougher for them. They're going to have one stretch where they play 14 out of 21 games, not only on the road but on the East Coast, which is often a challenge for them. And, you know, they've got some tougher opponents. The good thing is they did make hay against some of these sub-500 mm-hmm. teams when they played them, especially in May and June. So it's like that 2014 team. They banked all those wins early, and then even though they were among the worst teams in the National League for a two-month stretch in the second half, they got in as the wild card because they won all those games early. Now, this team, of course, would prefer to win the division, as you always would. And so that's going to be their sort of their challenge and their goal.
All right, it'd be interesting. We'll talk, of course, much more as we get closer to July 31st. I was very impressed by Cashner last night, and I've said this 2 months ago. I said, that's the guy, Cashner. That's the one I wanted for the bullpen. Then he got hurt. Then he got lit up, and he got hurt. Last night he looked like the guy that I think he could be. Your thoughts on Cashner?
Yeah, I thought he was really good. Probably his best start of the season. You know, I know it's easy for a Giants fan maybe to sit back and say, hey, they got shut down by a guy with a 5.40 ERA. But tough plate for the guys to work with from Mike Easterbrook. Brandon Belt got his first career ejection. So, you know, it was pretty bad if Brandon Belt gets himself ejected. And Cashner was throwing, you know, 96 with, you know, pretty good off-speed secondary stuff. So, you know, definitely a challenge. And he's one of those guys, like you said, you know, you sort of dream on him as a reliever a little bit. And, you know, I've been going down trying to make my list of people who might be available. It's going to be really interesting, I think, Marty, when we find out just what happens with some of these American League teams over the next couple of weeks, because, mm-hmm. you know, we know the A's, Angels, the Twins, the Rays, they're going to be looking to sell. You've got more teams in the NL, the Braves, the Reds, the Diamondbacks, the Brewers. We can safely put the Padres, Rockies, and even the Phillies in that category. You know, the Phillies are a little closer. But what about the Royals? You know, they're 4.5 games out of the wild card, chasing four teams. They're 8 out in the division. They've got a minus 48 run differential, so it's not like they've underplayed. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there a game over 500. Do they start moving you know, some of their pieces?
Yeah.
What about Detroit? They're 47-43, but they're also, you know, well back of Cleveland in the division. The Mariners, the White Sox, and then of course you've got the Yankees. And I think what those teams do could really swing it between whether this is a buyer's market or a seller's market, particularly as it comes to some of the relievers out there that might be interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. In fact, I've got the wild card standings, and you just summarized it for me pretty well in the American League. And I always say, Andy, it is July 16th. From now until the 31st, three of those teams that you talked about will disappear and will become sellers. It happens after the break every time. All of a sudden, the reality sinks in. You know, we're really not going anywhere. And then you see them drift out of it. So I think that's going to happen as well. Hey, it's a pleasure having you on, as always. And enjoy the day today. And we'll follow you on Twitter as well.
Okay. Appreciate it, Marty. Take care.
Very good. Andy Baggerly. Follow him on Twitter at Extra Bags with 2 G's. Yeah, he nailed the wild card standing.